Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
This weekend, from Gaza, we have seen images of mothers grieving alongside the bodies of their babies who have died of malnourishment. The stark language of Irish President Michael D. Higgins. It comes as the World Health Organization accuses Israel's defense forces of attacking their central warehouse and detaining a member of staff, and as Ireland joined 27 other countries, including the UK, Australia, Canada, France, Switzerland and Japan, to condemn Israel for the drip feeding of aid and the inhumane killing of civilians as they queue for vital food and water. For the latest, I'm joined by Middle East Bureau Chief with the LA Times, Nabi Bulos. Good morning to you, Nabi. This international condemnation, is it moving the needle domestically in Israel at all, or is it just falling on deaf ears?
I mean, I think it's clear that we've seen over the last 20 months, roughly speaking, a pattern where Israel is condemned by various nations and then nothing happens. So although this perhaps is a more vociferous condemnation than others in the past, I still think it will have little effect. And seeing the responses from Israeli officials and the government itself, you can see that, I mean, this is not being ignored at the moment. So I'm not sure it'll have much of an effect, I have to say.
And even the fact that where previously it was Ireland, Spain and Norway, and now it is the UK, Australia, Canada, France, Japan, Switzerland, as I'm saying, that doesn't change the calculations in Israel at all?
Well, I mean, it should be said that in the past, we have seen Israel react to the notion of international condemnation, and that's why it allowed some aid, I think a few weeks ago, to enter the Strip. But at the same time, I mean, right now, I mean, in terms of it actually affecting anything, let's say, material, right? So, for example, are we going to see the UK restrict arms sales to Israel? Will we see the same happening from Canada? Will we see support in general being reduced for Israel in terms of aid and assistance, whether that's military or otherwise? These are questions that, well, I have to say, that over the last 20 months, words come out oftentimes from various parties with little effect. And I mean, I should also remind you that the UK itself has often condemned various situations when it came to Israel and its treatment of Gazans and things of that nature. And it, I mean, the fact is, you know, we're still in this war. We're still in the situation where the ceasefire is nowhere near happening, as far as I can tell. And indeed, I mean, I'm not sure it'll move the needle in any material fashion, I have to say.
Okay. Well, let's come to the distribution of food in Gaza. The Americans and the Israelis tried to reinvent a wheel designed and working for very many decades by the World Food Programme, by UNRWA, by an alphabet soup of United Nations agencies. How is this new model working on the ground? And why are so many people being killed while queuing for food and water?
Well, I'll give you the first figure that really exemplifies why this is not working. If you compare the distribution network that was used by the UN and the various other organizations working with it, you are talking about roughly 400 distribution points across the Gaza Strip. Added to that, you also have the situation where, I suppose, aid recipients were actually registered with the various organizations and would receive an SMS or notification of some sort telling them to report to said distribution center and pick up the aid. Now, compare that to what the GHF is doing, right? The Gaza Humanitarian Foundation that is led by the, US-backed and Israel-supported, right? I mean, the GHF right now is basically operating about four aid hubs. So that's four, and that's compared to 400, right? And at the same time, you know, there are no SMS messages for people to come, right? It's merely a matter of first come, first serve, right? You have no actual aid workers distributing aid directly, right? It's merely placed in this one area and people are told to simply have at it. So as you can imagine, right, if you consider the needs of the Gaza Strip and the fact that it's only four spots and that there is no organized distribution to begin with, mm-hmm. I mean, of course, it will stand to reason that you'll have these situations of people being shot and killed. Now, added to that, I mean, the fact is that these killings are, I mean, I would argue a feature of the GHF and not a bug. This is not a function of it happening by mistake, right? The fact is that if you consider how people are being moved towards these distribution centers, right, and they're told where to go, etc., it's very easy to run afoul of the rules laid down by the Israelis. And so people are shot and killed immediately.
And
it's a real problem.
To what extent is this latest IDF endeavor to create corridors, cordon sanitaires for military operation, cutting people off from those four aid distribution centres?
It's a great question. The fact is that the distribution centers are mostly in the south of the strip. So you're talking about people having to walk really kilometers to get to it through an active war zone. So as you can imagine, of course, they're cut off, right? So people in the north will have a harder time getting there. People in Gaza City will have a harder time getting to this area. And it should be said that yesterday the IDF actually it issued evacuation orders for a large block of areas in Deir el-Balah, which is a central town that is actually necessary to get to the southern part of the strip as well. So it cuts off aid for the people who need it the most.
How much food is actually getting into the Gaza Strip in container loads?
I don't have the figures myself. We've seen the GHF say that it has offered meals, right? That is actually distributing meals, right? That's how they count them. But at the same time, how the meals themselves are counted is a question. So, for example, back in the day, the Israelis had restricted the caloric intake to about, I believe, 2,100 calories per day per dozen. And the GHF, I think it qualifies a meal at this point at about 1,750. So even in the context of the meals that are provided, right, they are perhaps not the full amount that people would need for a day's daily requirement. Okay.
So, Nabi, what is your assessment here of what the GHF amounts to? Is it an incompetent attempt to distribute food to the people of Gaza, or is it a reinvention of the wheel that is designed not to work?
I would say it's the latter, because the fact is the Israelis have for a long time, they've been attacking UNRWA and attacking other aid groups, saying that they are aiding Hamas and helping it steal and divert aid. And the fact is that this is simply not the case. Or if it is, it is happening in such small amounts that it would be considered negligible. And it should be said that aid diversion is something that happens in almost every aid project distribution all over the world. This is not new, right? But the fact of the matter is that the way things are being done by the GHF, it's merely taking the jobs of people who have been doing this for decades and know what they're doing. Now, if you want to argue that there should be more oversight, there are indeed ways to do so. But the way this is being done, it really is designed to basically create more hardship for Gazans.
Okay, so you can draw a very direct line between the operations of GHF or the inoperations of it and making food a tool of war.
Well, of course. I mean, if you consider the fact that you now have about 1,000 people who have been killed waiting for this aid, I mean, that number in itself is absurd, right? And the fact is that, I mean, the reason that we have 1,000 people who are being killed, right, and you have dozens being killed every day, is because the aid distribution style is chaotic, and indeed it is meant to be so. It's hard to ignore that fact.
Moving away from food to the other areas and methods of operation for the Israeli army, we've seen attacks on the World Health Organization. We have seen members of staff being seized. We've seen attacks on a Christian-owned church. And we have seen, as you said, increasing numbers of attacks on starving people queuing for food and water. Are there any red lines left for the Israeli army in the conduct of this war?
So I've been a war correspondent for about 12 years now, and I can tell you that this conflict has actually changed war in general. And I will also say that I think it has made the jobs of someone like me much more dangerous. Journalists perhaps often relied on, let's say, a more notional protection than anything real. But that notional protection did have some red lines, whether it was directly targeting journalists or aid workers or what have you. In the last 20 months, we have seen all that out the window. And in fact, the fact is that the way of warfare we are seeing now, this is actually now being looked at by other armies and being adopted, right, as a modus operandi in various areas. So what this does, I believe, is that it will actually cause a general worsening of war conditions for civilians, for journalists, for aid workers and others.
Nabi Boulos, thank you very much for that really rather stark and grim assessment. Nabi Boulos, Middle East Bureau Chief with the LA Times. We'll take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.